Well, happy Friday, my good friends. Good morning to you. It is so good to be with you on Good Morning Live. I pray that you are having a great start to your day. And if you're not, that's what we're here for, is to help you have a good morning. And we do that by gathering together over these platforms and opening the Word of God and encouraging one another. And so thanks for leaning in today. So if you're hopping on, you know, if you're watching this, chat in, let us know that you're watching. If something hits your spirit right, go ahead and type in amen or whatever. And we kind of have built a small community here, if you will, on Good Morning Live. And it's so good to see everyone hop on and communicate together. And even if you're watching this on the replay, go ahead and chat in. We see all those comments later on, and God's doing so much. So I hope to see you this Sunday at Hope City Church. I've got a message in my spirit. It's going to be an amazing Sunday, but we are 8 days away, 8 days away. So April 5th and 6th. Now I'm speaking to all of our Hope City family here and anyone listening. April 5th at 7 p.m., we are kicking off our revival weekend with two bishops from the City Harvest Network, from Pastor Rod Parsley's network, Dale Joseph and Bishop Amos. It's just going to be a powerful weekend. The Valor College students are coming, and they're going to lead worship. It's going to be incredible. I was just there this past weekend up at World Harvest Church and got to worship along with the Valor Christian College band. And man, you are in for a treat. Now, we don't normally do a lot of stuff outside of Sunday mornings, but I am really counting on all of our church family to come through and to be here and not just be here Saturday night and Sunday morning, but bring someone with you. And I know you can do it. I know you can think right now, who can I call and text? And not just say, well, I invited them and they didn't come. No, you replace that. If they say no, you find somebody. I always told our people there are ways to do that. You say, hey, well, let's grab lunch afterwards, or I'll save a seat beside you, or I'll pick you up, or I'll wait for you at the door. Make something tangible. I remember struggling against, this is before I pastored, but involved in a church, and they kept inviting me to small groups, and I kept not wanting to go. And so, you know, they do the, oh yeah, we hope to see you. Oh yeah, hopefully I'll be there tonight, blah, blah, knowing in myself I wasn't going. Well, finally, the guy got smart and he said, I'll tell you what, come tonight and bring the chips. And yeah, we've been needing somebody to do that. And he walked away and I thought, geez, now I have to go because they're waiting for my chips to get there. And he knew what he was doing the whole time, but I ended up going to that life group and made some of the best friends of my life and had a great time, and so glad that he said, bring the chips. So sometimes you got to have somebody bring the chips, if you know what I mean. So that's 8 days away. So get praying about that. Get thinking about that. Saturday night, 7 p.m. And of course, Sunday morning at 10. It's going to be great. So we're so looking forward to that. So much good happening in this season. We have some big announcements that we're going to make that weekend as well, of some things that God's doing through Pioneer Network that we're going to announce. And then we have the egg hunt right after that, the Easter egg hunt in Columbia coming up. And there's so many cool things that God's bringing together to make that a powerful event. And then, of course, the next day, April 20th, we're going to have Easter Sunday. We like to call it Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrate that he got up. So it's an amazing month. And, you know, one thing I love about spring, and I love about this time of year, resurrection, Easter, is, you know, we celebrate the miraculous. We celebrate that Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave, and overcame it and defeated it forever and gave us the keys of life, right, through his son. And so I believe that when we walk into a season like this, we're not just walking into, you know, another day, or it's another, you know, no. We are in a season where dead things come to life. We are in a season of breakthrough. We are in a season of miracles. So we lean into that in this season. I believe in that for you today, even now, even this weekend. whatever you've been praying and believing for, I come into agreement with you in the name of Jesus that God's going to do exceedingly above and beyond anything you could imagine. This is a season of turnarounds, a season of breakthrough, and we're going to experience it together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, all this week, we have been diving into hearing the voice of God. This whole thing kicked off because last Sunday, Prophet Dale Mass was with us and just really was on point with some words that he shared with our congregation. And, you know, I know sometimes we can leave a service like that and just like, man, I wish I would have gotten a word, or I wish, you know, I could hear God like that. And I just thought, you know what, if we need to lean into and realize that we can hear God, and God is always speaking. So all this week, we've been diving into how to hear the voice of God. What do we do? How do we tune in? How do we listen? And today, we're going to hop in and look at the role, the pivotal role of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and particularly when it comes to hearing the voice of God. Let me give you two scriptures as we start off, and then we'll jump into some teaching, all right? Let's do this together. John 14:26 says this, "But the Helper," who's the Helper? "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit is our Helper. He's our teacher. He brings to remembrance, right? Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So who are the sons of God on the earth? Anybody who just claims to be a casual Christian? No, those who are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus, you know, after he resurrected from the grave, he looked at the disciples and he said, "Listen, it's better that I go away." Well, how could that be better? I mean, you're the Messiah, you're Jesus, the resurrected Lord. How is it better? He said, because the Holy Spirit is coming, right? That great helper, that comforter, he will lead, he will guide you in all truth. And as many of you that are led by that Spirit, you are the sons of God, right? So what we have to know is that the Holy Spirit is not an abstract concept or some kind of strange mystical force that's kind of out there in the supernatural or in the universe somewhere, and you know, that it's a strange or weird thing. No, but Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, just as much God as Jesus himself. He's the Spirit, that manifestation of God through spirit form. He is that personal presence of God dwelling within us. Right? So Jesus, that's why he told the disciples, "Listen, the Holy Spirit's coming. It's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come." So when we apply the Holy Spirit to hearing the voice of God, to hear God's voice, we must cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, not just a knowledge of his existence, but a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, when it comes to the Trinity, I heard somebody explain it this way, and I thought it was so good. You know, they talked about when you're in grade school and you learn about different elements, and you know, your science teacher may take water and you have water in water form, but then you can freeze it and it's an ice form, but then you can heat it up and it becomes, you know, steam or evaporation, but it's all still H2O. It's all still water, but it's manifesting in three different forms. And that's exactly how the Trinity is when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It's a form, a manifestation of God, but it's this indwelling. It's this aspect where God, you know, Jesus, you know, couldn't be everywhere at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be. And so God's teaching us that, listen, if you want to be my son, if you want to be a follower, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be led? It means to follow. How do you follow? By hearing, by going in the direction that the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to go, right? So the Holy Spirit brings God's thoughts to us. He teaches us truth. He convicts us of sin. yesterday, but we talked about the difference between sin and condemnation. He does not shame us, but he aligns us with God's will, right? So what are some ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us? Well, he brings scripture to life with personal application. Like you can be opening the pages of this book and reading something and suddenly it just comes alive to you and it's the answer that you were looking for, believing for when it comes to the situation that you were facing. How did that happen? Well, it was the work of the Holy Spirit who illuminated almost those words off of the page and quickened in your spirit, because you are a spirit being, quickened in your spirit that's for you. That's for this moment, right? And so he speaks to us that way. He makes the word of God come alive to us. That's why you can read a scripture and have maybe read it a million times in your life, but then suddenly one day you're just reading it again or you hear it and something shifts in you and you're like, I never saw that before. What is he doing? The Holy Spirit's bringing revelation about the word of God, right? So the whole Bible was inspired by the Spirit in its writing, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings it as revelation into our life. The Holy Spirit will give us internal promptings, or what we might say, I have a check in my spirit, or I've heard somebody say, knowing in your knower. Like, I don't know, have you ever, you know, been asked to do something or to go somewhere, and you're just like, you don't know why, but it just doesn't feel right. It's just like, I can't put my finger on it. I can't give you a reason. I can't give you an explanation. It just doesn't feel right. Like maybe it was a job offer and it's like the money works and the location works and the position where everything about it works, but there's something that just, that's knowing in your knower. That's that little, what we would say, that check in my spirit that I can't move forward with it because there's something in my spirit that says, this isn't good. This isn't what, you know, and maybe it's great. Maybe this might be a great opportunity, but just not for me, right? It's just, there's something in me that's just saying no. So that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does that. And why are we bringing all this up? Because we're talking about how to hear the voice of God. The majority of hearing God speak in your life, 99.9% of the time, will be through revelation of Scripture, which is the working of the Holy Spirit, or it will be the Holy Spirit in one of these forms speaking to you or giving you that prompting or that knowing. Don't, you know, if we're just waiting for this audible voice to come and speak into our ear and not saying God won't do it, but that's not the primary way he speaks to his people. But we get that knowing in our knower, we get that check in our spirit or that go ahead in our spirit. Like the job doesn't make sense. It's not the right money, but I just feel like it's what I'm to do. I just, in my spirit, there's just this peace that comes along with it. That's the working of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. The Holy Spirit works the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, gifts of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, the gift of discernment. The Holy Spirit brings them into our life when we ask for them. And again, will help us discern the will and the purpose of God. The Holy Spirit will give us visions, dreams, and inward pictures. Visions, dreams, and inward pictures. Now, sometimes a dream is nothing more than you had too much sugar before bed, or you watched that crazy movie, and now you're having a dream, and that's all it is. But sometimes, and I can always, for me, tell the difference between a God dream and just a crazy dream, and it really more has to do with, for me, and this is just a me thing, I don't know if it's for other people too, but it's kind of how I wake up. You know, as a lot of times, if it's a God dream, I will wake up, and it's just so real. And it's that knowing that this was a God dream. This is something I need to write down, something I need to remember, something that I need to process. And other times you wake up and you're like, that was a stupid dream. I don't know what that was about. And I just kind of know that it wasn't, you know, a Lord, but sometimes, you know, we can take, you know, all that stuff is, I had a vision or I had a dream or I had this mental picture, this inward picture. That's all strange stuff. Even, and I know in the Old Testament, a lot of people are having dreams and visions, but if you look at the New Testament, the dreams and visions and inward pictures did not go away. There are many accounts in the New Testament where people had a dream or they had a vision or God showed them something, and that's how the Holy Spirit spoke to them. So don't discount when you have a dream or you saw something in a vision or just kind of in your mind, like, I saw this. This is just what I saw. That's often the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit often will bring a strong sense of peace or a strong sense of warning. A strong sense of peace or a strong sense of warning. And the Holy Spirit reminds Jesus' words at the right moment. Again, he can't remind you what you don't know. The more you get into the Word of God, the more you read Scripture, the more you pray, the more, that's why David said, your Word have I hid in my heart. What does that mean? It's in there. And when it's in there, the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance. Like, it's like a kid trying to use that Scripture. And I think I probably did 100 times in school. Holy Spirit, bring to remembrance, you know, what I know. Well, the fact is he didn't bring nothing to my remembrance because there's nothing to remember because I didn't study. I never read the book, right? And so the same thing can be true is you start reading the Word of God, you start reading the Scripture. I can't tell you how many times in 20 years of pastoring, I've been talking to somebody and a Scripture pops up in my heart that's for that person. And I know it's the Holy Spirit. How? Because I know that that's a Scripture, but it wasn't on my radar. It wasn't and my thought, it's not a Scripture that I come to. It's just like in that conversation, that Scripture popped up in my heart or my spirit, in my knower. And that I know it's like this, I got a Scripture for you because this is what the Holy Spirit just spoke to me into my spirit because he reminded me of something out of the blue, right? So, but if you've never read the book or you're not in the book, there's limited seed there to pull from, right? So we got to be in the book. But here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, right? I preach this, I heard this said, and I've preached it many times, but one of the definitions of rape is to force yourself or your will upon another person. And the Holy Spirit will never do that. He will never force you to listen. He will never force you to be anything or to do anything. But he is standing at the door, ready and willing. So if you desire, well, any of those things we talked about, like having more of that spiritual check in your spirit, more of the gifts of prophecy or wisdom or discernment in your life, more dreams, visions, inner picture, more of a knowing of a sense of peace or warning, more of the Word of God being reminded to us, then all we have to do is ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I desire to know your voice. I desire to be at one with you. I desire to communicate with you. I desire to have dreams and visions and for you to speak to me that way and show me different things. And I promise when you begin to desire those things and ask for those things, the Holy Spirit that will then bring them into your life in a greater way. We did a message series, and I'm thinking, I mean, it's a long, long time ago. But the message series was about, it's called the fourth wall. And the whole concept of the fourth wall was in the realm of theater or television, you kind of build a set. You have a wall here, and you never quite acknowledge the fourth wall or the camera, right? So if you're watching a play or a movie, nobody really looks into the camera and addresses the camera because you're supposed to be watching life play out or the story play out like you don't exist. Now, some shows kind of break that mold. If you think of the show The Office, where they look into the camera, today I would be breaking the fourth wall because I'm looking into the camera. I'm speaking directly to you. And we're acknowledging the audience. We're acknowledging your presence here with us today. And sometimes we go through life and we never acknowledge the fourth wall. And what I mean by that is we never acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit or his presence in our life. So we know through Scripture that the Spirit of God is everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's every space that we can be in. Everywhere we go, he's there. There's not a moment or a place that we can get to. David said, I could rise on the wings of the morning, settle to the furthermost parts of the sea, but where could I hide? But you would be there with me, right? So we know the Holy Spirit is everywhere, but often we don't encounter the Holy Spirit Why? Because we're looking at this wall, this wall, this wall, but we never acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the Holy Spirit, what makes the Holy Spirit shifts from being present to being manifested? How do we get the Holy Spirit from being present? He's always present, to manifested, where we feel him, we sense him, we know him. How do we do that? By acknowledgement. We break that fourth wall. Like, and we, like, you know, even in David's life, he sinned, right? Like, and he lived his life almost like the Holy Spirit wasn't watching, right? And we all do that. But then when we break that fourth wall and we come back to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, I repent, forgive me, Heavenly Father, forgive me. We're acknowledging that the presence of God. But what if we live lives where the Holy Spirit wasn't just present, but the Holy Spirit was manifested? How do we bridge that gap? By acknowledging the Holy Spirit. So I think it was Benny Hinn who coined the phrase, good morning, Holy Spirit, like that essence to wake up in the morning and recognize, Holy Spirit, you are here. You're present. You're in the room with me right now. I acknowledge that you're here. And I ask that you would lead me and guide me, like you're going into that intense meeting or that board meeting, you know, instead of just rushing through the door. That's when you pause and say, Holy Spirit, I know that you are here. I know that you're with me. I know that you're in me. I know that you surround me. I acknowledge you. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give me wisdom and insight today. Remind me of what I need reminding. Guide me, lead me. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit now becomes manifested. Why? Because we have bridged the gap by acknowledging. And what acknowledging is doing, it's inviting the Holy Spirit into our day, into our moments, into our week, into our car, into our job, into our baby kids' rooms, you know, all of that. We invite the Holy Spirit into those places. So if you want more of that in your life, it's a simple ask and it's a simple acknowledgement. Don't live life neglecting that fourth wall, like that God isn't watching and the Holy Spirit's not there. He's absolutely there all the time. And he wants to communicate with you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to do life with you. So sometimes when we pause and say, all right, Lord, is this wisdom? Should I go here? Should I buy that? You know, should I do this? And you just give the Holy Spirit some space to speak and to quicken into your heart. It's a learned art. But the more you do it, the more you're going to get comfortable with it. And the more it's like, you know what? I just don't feel like I should do that today. Or you just have that quickening, or you just have that boldness and that confidence when you walk into the room that I'm not coming in this room alone. I'm coming in this room with the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwelling on the inside of me, giving me power, might, dominion, wisdom, authority in the Spirit. And when I walk into the room, I don't walk into the room alone. I walk into the room with a host of heaven. I walk into the room with resurrection power dwelling on the inside of me. Why? Because I recognize that the Holy Spirit is here. I recognize he's with me and he's for me and he's always working and moving on my behalf. Now, come on, somebody. That'll change your perspective. That'll change your day. That'll change the environment of a room. That'll change how you look at that next meeting or that next intense conversation or how you walk into the house. Come on. That's what the Holy Spirit does, right? So let me show you this in Acts. I'll paraphrase it for time's sake. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we have the Holy Spirit who tells Philip to approach an Ethiopian's chariot. And he obeys the Holy Spirit, and it leads to this divine appointment that ends up resulting in the Ethiopian's salvation. And let me just read this one part to you. Now, the Spirit said to Philip, go to this chariot and stay with it. And then Philip responded and ran to him and heard him reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how can I? They end up having a conversation, explains the scripture. He ends up getting saved. He ends up being baptized. But I want you to see right here, the Spirit said to Philip, go to this chariot and stay with it. Go to this chariot and stay with it. And it ended up being an appointment for this Ethiopian to receive Christ. And it was a powerful event, but it all happened. Why? Because the Holy Spirit spoke to him. All right. And it probably wasn't this external voice that shook him to the core. It probably was just this inward, I'm going to go with that chariot. And I don't know why, but I'm supposed to be with that chariot. And I'm to stay with it until I figure out why, until God opens the next door, right? So just a biblical example of how the Holy Spirit wants to lead, guide, and direct us. I've heard it said that the Holy Spirit is like a GPS giving us real-time directions. It warns us when we're off course. And when we get off course, if you've ever had a GPS in your car, it'll do that rerouting, right? Like when we get off course, God's big enough to get us back on course. So sometimes the Holy Spirit has to step in and say, rerouting. But that's what it does. It's like, hey, you're off course. We need to get back. You're going in the wrong direction. But when we don't listen to the GPS, like, I don't know. Sarah and I were talking about that the other day, how this past weekend, I went up to Rod Parsley's church and you think about it, you just put it on your GPS on your phone and you go. And I was talking to her on the phone as I was driving. And I said, I remember the days of MapQuest. Anybody else out there, if you remember MapQuest, type in amen. But I remember the days of MapQuest. And I remember printing out those instructions the first time I drove to Columbus, Ohio. And I had them there on my steering wheel trying to read them. And Lord forbid there would be a detour. You were way off. But I remember just thinking, man, I'm like 16 years old, driving highways that I've never known and, trying to follow MapQuest. I remember one time coming back from the airport in Washington, D.C. And it was like 2 a.m, it's raining hard. And I had my MapQuest directions, but they had construction and a detour. It was a terrible mess. I was a nervous wreck. I remember I'm coming home and I came home and I thought, I'm getting one of those TomToms, if you remember them, the GPS that you put on your windshield that were popular then. Anyway, my point is, it's like, how much more comfort now in my life? Like if somebody says, hey, will you come? Well, yeah, just send me the address. I'll be right there. Like I don't even consider, well, how am I going to get there? Why? Because I have something in the palm of my hand that'll just tell me. Put in the address and I just go. I'll be there. I'll figure it out. If I turn wrong, I'm not stressed about it. I'm not worried about it. Why? Because I have confidence. That the little voice that I just changed to be an Australian accent, I don't know why, just wanted something different. So now the GPS on my phone is Australian. It'll just get me there. And I have full confidence that it will get me where I need to go if I just trust it. And if there's an accident or a detour and it's saying, sometimes it'll come on and say, you're still on the fastest route. Or it'll say, turn left, turn right, do whatever, but I have confidence. I have trust. I don't second guess it. I just do what it says. And I know it don't even tell me the time I'll get there, right? And that's a lot what the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when it comes to, now the Holy Spirit does so much more than that. I don't want to diminish that. But when it comes to hearing the voice of God and it comes to that aspect of listening to the Holy Spirit, that's kind of like what it is. Like, listen, I know it doesn't make sense, but go to the chariot and stay with it. Like, hey, take the job, talk to that person in the grocery store, forgive that person. Why? Because if not, you're going to be off course, right? So we listen to the Holy Spirit. Why? He's our GPS. He will reroute us. He will get us where we need to go. Amen. So what does your relationship with the Holy Spirit look like? Is it as strong as you would want it to be? Are you communicating with the Holy Spirit as much as you would desire to? Or would you say today that, I think I can lean in a little bit more. I think I can break that fourth wall and acknowledge the Holy Spirit every day in every situation. When was the last time you have felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit in a certain direction to do something or to not do something? This should be commonplace in the life of a believer. But he, like I said, he's a gentleman, and all we have to do is ask. So let's ask. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence here today, wherever we are, wherever we sit, wherever we stand right now, we acknowledge that you are in the room. You are here. You are in us. You are with us. And Holy Spirit, we repent for trying to do life on our own and not acknowledging you when we should have. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal more of yourself to us, that we would get to know you so intimately that it's like that GPS in our phone, that we just have full confidence that when you say go left, we go left. When you say slow down, we slow down. When you say stop, we stop. We trust you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. And we ask today that you would lead, guide, and direct us. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. Give us dreams and visions. Speak to us. Let us hear your voice like we've never heard it before. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for being with me today. As I've been watching on the monitor, if it looks like there's a light show going on in here, it's not. I happen to have the windows open here in the studio, and it's just the sun coming up between the clouds. Usually I have all the blinds closed, but anyway, so just clarity on what that is. It's not like the Holy Spirit illuminating on my face and then going away. It's the sun. But anyway, thanks for being with me this week as we have dived into the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit speaking into our lives. It's so good to jump into the Word of God. So I hope to see you this weekend, and I hope to see you April 5th at 7 p.m. as we gather together, start thinking. Now, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is it that I should be bringing to these meetings April 5th and 6th? Who is it that I should be dragging with me? And I'll make it a point to be there. So I'll see you this Sunday. And of course, all next week, we will be live together on Good Morning Live. So anyway, thanks for being with me. Have an amazing rest of your day. Have an amazing weekend. And I'll see you Sunday in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.